the Sam of Wilds. Maybe I didn't look like I was a god, more like the gods had a sense of humor, but I could do things that were almost godlike. I could create, I could rejuvenate, I could make something out of nothing because I was godlike. Yikes. Curb the ego, Sam, I muttered to myself. But I was something, okay? I was. I'd come from a place where not much hope resided, and whether by accident or design, I changed the shape of my future, and not just for me. For my mother, for my father. They had given me everything they had, and I was able to give them something back. That should have counted for something. And it did. But still, there was an ache in my heart. To know my cornerstone was here, and I could never have him. It wasn't the be-all and end-all. There could be others. I would find them, the one for me. It would all be okay. And so I looked back up at the sky, took a breath, and wished upon the stars. I wish I could find that one person made for me, so that way I can show them why I was made for them. Selfish? Maybe. Sad? Definitely. But I knew, Sam. I squawked attractively. Okay, that was a lie. There's no way to squawk attractively. It was rather unattractive. Arms flailing, legs kicking. It was just awful.
Didn't mean to scare you,
Knight Ryan asshole said, sounding amused. I sat up and glared at him. I wasn't scared.
You screamed like a frightened little girl.
I squawked like an indifferent tall man. Because that was a sound and logical argument. What are you doing out here? I hadn't seen him since we'd been escorted back to the castle the night before by Pete, who'd kept laughing at me like I'd done something hysterical. He shrugged and glanced away. He looked tired. He was dressed down more than I'd ever seen before, wearing trousers and a soft-looking tunic with embroidered edges. It was open at the throat, and my mouth went dry.
Just checking things out.
Things? He rolled his eyes.
Yes, Sam. Things.
Well, I hope things are okay. I paused. Are they?
What are you asking?
Honestly, I have no idea. You startled me, and my brain isn't working yet.
Scared you,
he corrected. Ass. How did you know about this part of the garden? He fidgeted.
Well,
I waited.
Your mother might have showed me?
He sounded embarrassed. Did she? I said, already plotting revenge.
A long time ago,
he said. He brushed a hand over the furled petal of an orange wildflower.
I needed it, I guess.
What? Why?
Said it was a good place to come if I ever needed solitude.
It gets loud in the castle. Understatement. Why do you think I was holed up in the labs all day today?
Yeah, about that.
It's okay, I said with a straight face. I know it's hard being dashing and immaculate. He groaned and buried his face in his hands.
Ugh, of course you say that.
Do you ever go anywhere and not be dashing and immaculate? It must get tiring, you know, with all the dashing.
You think I'm dashing?
He asked, dropping his hands, eyebrows arching. It was suddenly very hard to breathe, as I realized he was towering over me, and that my penis found that to be very attractive.
What?
Just
what?
Shut up. With your face.
Smooth.
Real smooth. Just quoting your adoring fans.
I don't have fans.
He snapped. Wow, bitchy. And wrong. You do. You have fans. They have clubs. Did you know that? There are actual, legitimate Ryan Foxhart fan clubs in Varenya. They meet and talk about your eyebrows and when it's better if you part your hair left or right, and how fantastic you look when you pose everywhere you go. I don't pose, he said, like it was the most outrageous thing he'd ever heard. I pushed myself up off the ground. First of all, lie. You totally do. I lowered my voice just a tad to do an extraordinarily accurate impression of him.
Hi, my name is Ryan Foxhart.
Oh no, there's danger afoot. Let me pull out my sword and pose. I mimed pulling a sword from my side and cocked an eyebrow. Notice how dashing I am, and immaculate. And today my hair is parted on the right. Wink. Oh my gods. Spot on, right? I thought about putting the sword away, but then I realized there wasn't one and that I was still posing. I stopped that immediately. I bet it was like looking in a mirror. He was flustered. It was awesome. No, that's not even close to what I sound like. But the rest of it then, huh? I knew it. He scowled at me.
You aggravate me.
I aggravate everyone. It's part of my charm. And this conversation was weird. I didn't even know why we were having it. Why I was allowing it. I'd sworn to myself to stay far away from Ryan Foxhart until Morgan sent me out again. And yet, I'd left the labs for less than half an hour and here he was. It was unnerving. I wouldn't call it charm, exactly. He said. Oh, what would you call it? I asked, and thought, walk away, walk away, walk away. He didn't answer. Instead, he said stiffly,
Todd seems nice.
And that was a change of subject I almost couldn't follow. Huh?
Todd,
he said slowly, as if I was an idiot.
Your fiancé.
My eyes bulged. My what now? The scowl deepened.
Your future husband. It was all over the news.
He looked angry, and I had no idea why. I'm not getting married.
Then why would they print that?
Because the freedom of press has gone too far in this country. I don't know.
They can just print whatever they want.
Poor, sweet, foolish child. Yeah, they can. It's called sensationalism. They were calling you dashing and immaculate. I am dashing and immaculate. Aha! I cried. I knew you did that shit on purpose. Oh my gods. That's so embarrassing for you. My impression was so right, it's not even funny. I am going to tell all your fan clubs. He grinned, and it was evil.
And how do you even know about the fan clubs?
Abort, abort, abort. Because he didn't know that I went to one once. Once. While in disguise. That was just ridiculous. And creepy. Gods, it's late. Look at the time. Actually, I can't because I don't have my watch. I assume it's late. So,
it's barely 10.
He took a step toward me. Late, I insisted. I'm tired. Someone decided to keep me out till the wee hours of the morning last night.
You were attacked,
he said,
by dark wizards.
Again. It doesn't happen as often as you might think, I said, taking a step back. I just have one of those faces that people want to shoot things at. And I immediately made that dirty in my head.
That's one way of putting it.
Seriously, I said, eyes wide. You're not even Queen Sass anymore. You're like the god of sass. You created all the sass the world knows. Why don't more people know this? Instead of dashing and immaculate, they should be describing you as sassy and bitchy. I'm going to write a letter to the editor first thing in the morning. It must be reported on immediately.
Maybe you can bring that up at the next fan club meeting, too.
Hey, I don't even know what you're talking about, okay? I hear things when I'm on my travels. I don't even care about stuff like that.
I cared so hard. I had actually gone 3 times to the fan club meeting. They knew me as Mervin. I had a backstory and everything. It was my turn to bring muffins the next time. I was considering poppy seed. Or cranberry. Fun.
So you're not marrying Todd?
He growled, taking another step towards me.
That's probably a good thing. He was going to kill you with ducks and blueberries.
I'm not. Trust me on that. I like his ears, but really, that only goes so far. He grimaced.
You and his ears.
They stuck out. I thought they were adorable.
If that's your qualifier for a relationship, then you're screwed.
That's the idea, isn't it? I said, trying to grin salaciously. I think I missed the mark and went directly to constipated. He grunted and closed his eyes.
You can't say stuff like that.
Why not? Gary says I'm a prude. I don't think I am. I can talk about stuff like that. It's not that hard. Or, well, it could be. Ha! See? I just made a sexual pun. And everyone knows that sex puns are the highest form of humor. Fuck you, Gary. Sex and fucking and balls. Ryan actually took a step back at that one, which was good because somehow he'd gotten really close.
Sam,
he hissed. Maybe you're the prude. Dicks and fornication.
Sam.
He was turning red again.
And my heart.
What?
Don't marry Todd,
he said.
When you marry, it should be for love. Nothing more, nothing less.
And that hit me right in the gut, because it couldn't possibly be any clearer than that.
Ah,
I said, through the blood roaring in my ears as I took a step back.
Congratulations.
For what? He looked confused. For marrying Justin. You must love him very much, right? That's what you just said. And I knew he was my cornerstone then, because I wanted nothing more than to blow something up with a few choice words, but was able to stop myself. Hooray for personal growth and damning realizations. He said,
Sam.
It was strained.
What? I don't.
He looked away. The mood had changed very quickly. It's okay, I said brightly. Probably too bright. When I get back, I'll figure something out. And, well, I hadn't meant to say that. So, of course, he pounced on it.
Get back?
He said, snapping his gaze to mine. Yes. I mean, I'll be going out again. For a while. His face went carefully and explicitly blank.
Oh? For how long?
For as long as it takes to no longer hurt to have you this close. I shrugged. Don't know this time. Will probably be a while. Morgan's sending me away.
Where?
Sorry, Ryan. Doesn't work like that. Wizarding business. He narrowed his eyes.
I'm the knight commander of the castle guard. You live in the castle. Therefore, you're my business.
That irritated the fuck out of me. Even the king doesn't always get to know what Morgan and I do, I said. Maybe you should remember that, knight commander. Which was a lie. I pretty much told the king everything. Morgan would just smack me upside the head while the king laughed at me. And how long will it take for you to get captured again? He said.
What then?
Wait until I ride in to rescue you? I laughed at him. Oh, fuck off.
You never had to rescue me, not once. As a matter of fact, if anything, I rescued you last night. You just stood next to me, all dashing and immaculate, remember? While I had all the magic. I wiggled my fingers at him. And his eyes glazed over as he watched my fingers and said, "Ugh." I frowned. "What's wrong with you?" I didn't think I'd accidentally cursed him.
"Nothing,"
he said in a rough voice.
"Just lightheaded. It's fine.
If you're sure." And then we just stood there. I didn't know if we were fighting or not. I thought I was mad, but I also thought I was really turned on. I wondered if those were sort of the same thing. And while I knew why I was turned on, I mean, hello, proximity. He was like right there, and I could smell him. I couldn't for the life of me figure out what I was supposed to be mad about. "These are very confusing times," I said.
"No shit,"
he muttered. "No cursing," I scolded him. "You're a knight. You don't get to do that. You gave up that right when you swore your oath to the king. You have to lead by example now. So say stuff like fudge toast and mother crackers instead of shit whore and fuckstorm."
I can assure you I have never felt the need to say shit whore or fuckstorm in my life, he said.
I gaped at him. But you just did. There are little girls in your fan clubs. They are young and impressionable. And they could be very mean. I knew from the 8 times I'd gone to the meetings. Well, one of them was mean anyway. She told me that I obviously knew nothing about Ryan Foxhart because his favorite color was burgundy and he one day dreamed of owning a sheep farm. Her name was Tina, and she was a bitch. And I hated her stupid face. His favorite color was scarlet, and he wanted to open a bakery. Really, none of that was true. It was just the sort of things we discussed in meetings. He grinned at me again, and the butterflies in my stomach turned into dragons and laid waste to my innards. "Not that I would know," I said quickly. "I just assumed that only little girls would go to those things. Right? Because anyone else would just be weird. Very weird. Also, I'd been to 16 meetings, and I was thinking of running for fan club treasurer next time. There was already a girl in place named Deidre, but I would destroy her in the next round of elections. She was 12. I was a wizard. I couldn't lose. Look, this has been fun. Lie, this has been nerve-wracking, and I needed to go masturbate. But I have to go. I've got stuff to do before I head out again. Masturbate. Wizard stuff. Like, secret wizard stuff. Masturbate. Ryan's smile faded.
You're really leaving?
I sighed. It's complicated. It's better this way.
For who?
He asked. It doesn't matter, I said quietly. Ryan, look, it's... For what it's worth, I'm glad we're friends now. Right? We're friends? He looked down at the ground.
Yeah, Sam. We're friends.
This made me happy, even if it felt bittersweet along its edges.
Good.
He looked back up at me, and there was something akin to desperation in his eyes.
You have to come back, okay? You have to.
I was shocked.
I will.
I'm going to be the king's wizard after all. To your husband.
Yeah.
He said.
I know. When will you leave?
Soon, I said. A week, maybe a little more. He nodded tightly and turned to walk away. I made it a few steps before he stopped again. He looked up toward the stars above, and I followed his gaze. He said,
I wish.
And I said, don't. He turned back to look at me. Everything hurt.
You can't, I managed to say. You can't say your wish out loud.
Not when you look up at the stars. If you do, it won't come true. And I can't allow that to happen to you. He watched me. I watched him back. Finally, he looked back up to the stars and closed his eyes, and I knew he was making his wish. I hoped that whatever it was, that it would one day come true. When he was done, he opened his eyes, and I couldn't look away. But that's okay, because neither could he. And right then, I hated that we were friends. It was easier to watch him leave when he didn't know I existed. Chapter 8: Turning Noses into Dicks and Other Stories. 8 days later, Morgan said,
"I'm sending you north."
I paused from where I'd been scribbling in my grimoire. "Oh?" was all I could think to say. Because this wasn't just north. I knew he meant north. Which, to be perfectly honest, was intimidating as all fuck. He must have seen that flicker of fear across my face because he shook his head.
"No, not for that. Not yet. You're not ready, Sam."
Thank the gods, because he meant north. The cold lands from where my father had come. Where Morgan's mentor resided in a castle made of ice. Randall. The scariest motherfucker ever. Morgan rolled his eyes.
"He's not that bad."
Like he could read my mind. "Not that bad?" I wheezed. "He's the one who decides who moves on from apprenticeship by conducting the trials. He's the one who can make or break my future. Oh, and there's the little fact that he hates every fiber of my being."
"He doesn't hate you, Sam. I've told you that 1,000 times.
Pretty sure he does. I don't blame him either. You were there the first time I met him. You stood right there when I accidentally turned his nose into a penis. You couldn't figure out how to reverse it for 3 days. And he was officiating a wedding the next day. He had to marry a bride and groom with a dick nose. He told me that one day he'd have his revenge. Oh, gods. What have I done to you? Do you really hate me that bad? Did I disappoint you so badly that you want to subject me to the absolute worst thing you could possibly think of?" Morgan was trying hard not to laugh. The bastard.
"It could have happened to anyone,"
he said.
"Granted, it happened to you, which is not all that surprising."
"I was 15, I said, with a scowl. "Of course I was thinking about dicks. You know what? No, I blame you. Puberty was an awful, awful time, and you made me do magic. This is all your fault."
"Trust me,"
he said.
"I tell myself that every day."
"Har, har. No, I'm not going. I'll go live in the woods and become the scary story that parents tell their children about. Be careful, little Tommy. Old man Sam lives in those woods. If you don't eat your vegetables, he'll come when you're sleeping and steal your feet."
"To be fair, it wasn't the first thing you turned into a penis."
"Ugh."
"Like that turkey."
"Shut up."
"Or the king's wine glass."
"Do you remember the look on his face? I thought he'd literally shit himself."
"Or the..."
"I get it," I snapped. "I had dick on the brain."
"I love our little talks."
"You're really going to make me go, aren't you?"
"It'll be good for you," Morgan said kindly. "Give you some time to clear your head."
The wizard of all wizards. Like the head wizard.
"Yes, Sam."
I had to make sure. "I'm not ready for the trials."
"I know. And that's not what you're going for. At least not yet. Hopefully. That's still years away."
Randall was the oldest wizard in existence, and I swear he was hanging on just so that he could one day have his revenge against me. Morgan said he was at least 600 years old. That the amount of magic in him kept him from passing through the veil, but I knew otherwise. I was going to get there. He was going to turn me into a giant dick, and then he was going to die, cackling as he did so. Granted, that would mean he wouldn't be in charge of my trials, the process for moving on from an apprentice to being a full wizard. The youngest wizard to pass the trials had been 42. Morgan had done so when he was 67. I wanted to take the trials by the time I hit 30. But between not having finished my grimoire and a lack of solidified cornerstone, that dream was slipping further and further away. I sighed. You told him, huh? Through your secret wizarding network that you still haven't told me about.
It's called a letter in the mail, he said.
I narrowed my eyes. It takes a month to get to Castle Freeze Your Ass Off.
I'm aware, and don't call it that when you get there. It's Castle Freesius. You know how Rendell gets when you're mouthy. You need to try and curb some of your natural urges.
I'm aware. His jaw twitches whenever I speak. Morgan grinned.
That's because you let the words fall out without rhyme or reason. He's a bit more economical that way.
That's code for he hates me.
He's worried about you.
I looked up in surprise. He is?
Regardless of what you think, he cares about you, Sam. And we're concerned.
Concerned? I repeated.
This cornerstone business can be trying on an apprentice,
Morgan said.
Especially one of your unique caliber. He will teach you in ways that I cannot. I'm too close to you. I'm biased and might not be able to see the full picture. And in the long run, that will cause more harm than good for the both of us.
Because you love me, I said, sounding smug.
More like you grew on me,
he said.
Like a fungus.
How long? Because Rendell was on the other side of Varenya, and I highly doubted he would be coming to me.
A month to Castle Freesius,
he said.
4 months there, 1 month back.
6 months? Morgan, I don't have time for...
You do,
he said, bringing himself to his full height.
And you will, because this isn't a suggestion. I am the king's wizard. You are my apprentice. This is an order.
You know that ooh-scary-look-at-me voice might work on other people. But I've seen you vomit pink goo after that Selkie scratched you, and you told me you wanted to hug me for days. It doesn't work on me anymore when you have demanded I snuggle with you.
I had a fever,
he said.
There were hallucinations.
Right. That's what we're going with. And if I go, Gary and Tiki go too.
Because you're codependent and can never do anything on your own.
Rude. You're just jealous because you're not invited on the super awesome road trip fun time extravaganza. He sighed.
You capitalized that, didn't you?
I smiled because he knew me so well. When do we leave?
5 days,
he said.
I'll give you enough time to prepare. And I'm serious, Sam. You stay on the roads. You stay out of the dark woods. You stay away from dark wizards. You avoid any and all shenanigans. You get to Castle Freesius. You learn what you need to. You get back. I want no deviations to that. You understand?
I laughed at him. Come on. It's me you're talking to. What could possibly go wrong? Mom said,
you're going where? And for how long?
Dad said,
I'll make sure you have plenty of yak fur to wear because you are a wuss and can't handle the cold.
Gary said, you want me to walk to Castle Freeze Your Ass Off? Are you out of your damn mind? I just got my hooves painted. Tiggy said,
"You gonna get captured again. I gotta keep you safe, tiny human."
Morgan said,
"Just stay out of trouble. For me. For my sanity. I beg of you."
And I did. I tried to stay out of trouble. Too bad trouble found me even before we'd left for the north. Dragons are funny like that.
"Word on the street is that you're leaving," Justin said as I left the labs.
And I'd done so well in avoiding him. God damn it. I plastered the largest fake smile on my face and turned to look at the prince. Of course, he looked as perfect as usual, leaning nonchalantly against the stone wall, arms across a built chest, a bored look on his handsome face. "Your Grace," I said with a nod of my head. "I wasn't aware you went out to the streets, much less listened to what's being said on them." And I was slightly annoyed that someone had been talking when they shouldn't have, which meant that Gary probably ran his big fat unicorn mouth down at the nail salon where he went to get his hooves touched back up after he'd scuffed the ground in anger. He and the owner, Ming Wen, were thick as thieves, and I just knew they were plotting together in that language Miss Wen spoke that sounded like the fluttering of bird wings.
"When it pertains to my wizard, I tend to listen," he said.
Man, did those words grate. I was not a fucking possession. "Apprentice," I said. He glared at me.
"What's that now?"
"Not a wizard, I'm an apprentice. But thank you for your concern."
"Are you leaving?"
"You've never asked me that before."
"I've never had a reason."
I cocked an eyebrow at him. "And you do now?"
"Ryan," he said.
"Ryan," I said blandly, even though my heart was thundering in my chest.
"He's a bit distraught."
"Is he?"
"Has been ever since that night."
"And which night would that be?"
"When you two went on a date."
He smiled. It was an icy thing.
"Sorry, when you went on a date with Todd."
"How is Todd?" Fine. "He's fine. He's good." Actually, I really had no idea how Todd was, because after Morgan had said he was sending me north, I'd sent a missive to Todd explaining how his ears were awesome and I liked his freckles, but that I had to leave for months and that it wasn't fair to him to wait for someone like me. I told him to find a nice man who could eat blueberries and ducks, and maybe when I got back, I could take him out for a drink and we could be friends. He'd responded 2 days later with a letter of his own. "Sam, I figured this was coming the moment the Knight Commander got into the carriage with us. Father will be disappointed, but I understand. Your world is magic and mystery. Mine is hotels and theme nights. Those should probably not mix in any romantic capacity. The results could be disastrous. Safe travels, Todd. P.S. So when are you going to tell the Knight Commander that you're in love with him? Because honestly, that was painful." I had immediately burned the letter because it was all lies and attempted to construct a voodoo doll of Todd. I got stuck on the ears and abandoned the whole project in favor of glaring at the ash remains of the letter of evil. I thought about writing again and taking back every nice thing I'd ever said about his ears. Realized that was petty and untrue because his ears were adorable. And truthfully, I felt kind of bad. So, no, I hadn't heard from Todd, nor had I expected to. But fuck Justin in the face. "He's busy," I said. "Hotel stuff."
"That's so,"
Justin asked.
"Good for him. Well, since you're obviously not doing anything."
"That's not true. I have plenty."
"I think it's a good idea for you and I to spend some time together. Just the two of us."
I would have rather had my balls torn off. "Say what now?" He sighed prettily.
"Sam, you are to be the king's wizard one day. I am going to be the king. You will be my advisor, as wrong as that sounds. We should at least spend some time together before you leave for months on end. I mean, who knows you'll even come back. I would just feel awful if something happened to you out there in the big wide world, and I never had a chance to say we bonded.
Somehow, I get the feeling you wouldn't be that upset. He grinned.
Nonsense. I would be broken to pieces.
I can tell. Your words are too kind, my prince.
Now, what should we do? What could you and I possibly do together?
He tapped the side of his face, thinking malicious things. Then his eyes lit up.
I've just had the most wonderful idea.
Uh-oh, I muttered under my breath. Hold on to it. I have a feeling those are a rarity.
How's that now?
He said, stepping away from the wall. Nothing, Your Grace, I said sweetly. I'm sure whatever you thought of is perfect.
Oh, it is. Shall we?
I was completely and utterly fucked. I figured as much when Justin got that glint in his eye that meant he was about to be a fucking jerk. Yes, I was not a fan of his, and I was most certainly not a member of his fan club, of which there were inexplicably several, though the two clubs met every month or so to talk about Ryston, their favorite couple, while I would sit in the back seething that combining Ryan and Justin to make Ryston was stupid. But what if Ryan Foxhart had met a guy named Sam Haversford? It'd be Havehart. It practically wrote itself. This, by the way, being the 20th meeting I had attended. But I like to think that maybe deep down in the black and murky confines of his soul, Prince Justin was an okay guy. I was wrong. So, this is the sparring grounds, I said unnecessarily. And we're alone.
Are we?
He said, sounding surprised.
I suppose we are.
You're a prince, and we've somehow managed to make it out of the castle and out of the city undetected to the sparring grounds, which are empty.
How strange. Well, it's Wednesday, and the knights will be on the east end, going through their exercises.
And we're west, I said.
West,
he agreed. You probably shouldn't murder me, I said out loud, even though I totally meant to keep that in my head. He laughed.
I'll keep that in mind.
Wow. That was reassuring. He walked over to a massive shed standing at the edges of the field. There was a metal padlock on the doors. Oh, no, I said. It's locked. We should go home.
Bah,
he said.
You have your magic. Unlock it.
I left my magic in my room, I said, like that was a real thing.
Oh, it's good I have the key then.
Super good. We're going to spar, aren't we?
We are,
he said easily, unlocking the doors.
It'll be good to measure each other's strengths with weapons. Heavy, sharp weapons.
Remind me, what place did you finish in your sword-handling division at the last summer celebration? He said, pulling the doors open.
I didn't think you paid attention to such things. Oh, Sam, I don't like to brag. It's so unbecoming.
He reached in and pulled out an Estoc longsword. He spun it easily in his hand with a ridiculous flourish.
First place. 4 years running.
Yeah, I said. I'm going to have to take a rain check. I just remember that I made plans with someone to not be here and be wherever they are. Nonsense. Justin said.
Gary's with Tiggy in town picking up supplies for your trip that no one is supposed to know about. Your parents are at work. My father is meeting with certain heads of state to discuss new trade routes. Morgan by his side. And Ryan is overseeing the night's exercises. Who else could you possibly know? Pick a sword, Sam. Your training is about to begin.
Training, I said stupidly.
Indeed. After the disaster at Antonella's, where you proved you are not in control, as you'd like everyone to think, you really believe I let you go out into the world without knowing how to use a sword? Come, Sam. That would just be irresponsible.
A low-level fury rolled through me, and I did my best to push it away. That's very kind of you, sire. I'm sure your tutelage will prove to be enlightening. He smiled. It was all teeth.
Undoubtedly.
He tossed me the estoc without warning. I fumbled gracelessly, narrowly avoiding grabbing the blade. It was heavier than I thought it would be. I never understood the point of sword fighting. It felt too visceral, too barbaric. It usually always resulted in bloodshed in close proximity. Magic wasn't like that. There was no need to incapacitate by injury when it could be avoided. Of course, that little dark voice inside that spoke through the magic reminded me just how close I'd come to encasing the darks completely in rock. How I could have burst their hearts or set them on fire. I did my best to ignore that voice. No good would come of it. Except for setting Justin on fire. That'd probably be good. Just a shirt. I'd put it out. Eventually. He reached back in and took out another sword, similar to the estoc he'd given me. He handled it easily. My body and arms weren't conditioned like his and Ryan's. I wasn't dashing and immaculate. Yet another reason they were obviously perfect for each other. Wow. That sounded bitter. He left the shed doors open and turned toward the sparring field. There were wooden dummies shaped in the approximation of a man at one end, covered in nicks and cuts from sword practice. I thought we'd start there, wondering why we were really starting at all, but Justin didn't even glance at them. He led me to the far end of the sparring field, the grass bright and green under our feet, the sky clear and blue above. There was a breeze, and I could smell the trees and the flowers, and maybe even a hint of salt from the sea and at the ports 10 miles away. On a hill in the distance, a large flock of sheep grazed, white among the green. It was almost nice. Company excluded, of course. Because he said,
"No magic."
I said, "What?" He stretched his neck from side to side.
"No magic. It isn't fair."
I snorted. "I've never used a sword. Let's talk about fair."
"We could always use our fists,"
he said, and there was a sour tang to the air now. His jaw had tightened, and there was a flash of something in his eyes that hadn't been there before. "What is this?" I asked him quietly.
"A lesson," he said, brandishing the sword again.
"In
humility. You see, Sam, if I didn't know any better, I'd think you didn't know your place.
You'd think wrong." He took a step toward me. I took an answering step back.
"Is that right?"
"Yes, yes, yes." He raised his sword, settled into a defensive position.
"Sword up, Sam. It's time to begin."
I brought the sword up, holding the handle with two hands. It was awkward. The blade shook slightly.
"Now," he said, "most think it's about brute attacks. Quick and heavy. Bashing down your opponent. Skin split and blood spilled."
He swung his sword out in a flat horizontal arc. I managed to jump back. Barely. I said, "Justin." He said,
"But unless your opponent is weak, sheer brute force will only result in exhaustion. And that could lead to mistakes. Mistakes not normally made."
He brought the sword up and over his head, bringing it down toward me. I raised my own sword defensively over my head. The blades clashed. The vibrations from the impact rolled down my arm into my shoulder. The metal scraped as he pulled his sword back and away.
"It's better to dance," Justin said, taking a step back.
waiting for your opponent to attack and attack and attack. Eventually, he'll tire until he can barely stand, and that's when you move in for the kill. There was green flicking off out of the corner of my eyes. It felt heady and strong, and I knew just how easy it would be to hold on to it, sink down under it, and just push. Instead, I said, I'm not doing this, whatever this is. I dropped the sword. It fell to the ground. Justin's eyes narrowed. Pick it up. No. He brought the flat end of the sword up, and before I could move, slapped me across the thigh with it. There was a flare of pain as the muscle seized, but I kept my face blank. Pick it up, he snarled. So much green. It was everywhere. What do you want? I asked him. I've never done anything to you. In fact, I've done everything I could to stay out of your way. And yet I find you there again and again, he said. My father, the king's court, the castle, the city, the country. Everyone knows of Sam of Wilds, the little boy from the slums who, by accident, found himself a spot in royalty, though he'd done nothing to deserve it. And you have? I asked him, cocking my head. This felt hard, dangerous. I didn't care. What exactly did you do? You were born and it was given to you. That's all. That's all you've ever done, and you're in line to be king. And a king I don't know if I could serve. He took a step back. You don't have a choice. I smiled at him. There's always a choice. I am not bound to you. Not yet. I haven't taken my oaths. I haven't been through the trials. You don't own me, Justin. I could walk away from you and never come back. A king without a wizard to advise him was frowned upon. A prince whose wizard apprentice had walked away was unheard of. There weren't many of us. He needed me more than I needed him. There was a false bravado that pushed itself through the real fear I saw in his face. You wouldn't. Watch me. Your parents, he said. You'd never see them again. And that, well, that didn't sit right. Are you threatening my parents? I asked him, my voice low. You're the one that said he'd walk away. He took a defensive stance. What is this? I asked him again. Why all the theatrics? What do you want? Stay away from Ryan, he said. I don't care what has happened between you. I don't care what you think he is to you. You stay away from him. Because that makes sense. Unless he knew about Ryan's position as my cornerstone, which would mean Morgan told him, or someone else, which frankly didn't fly. Morgan was a man of secrets. Cornerstones were private business. So the only thing that remained was my ridiculous crush on a man I would never have, and that I hadn't been as subtle as I thought I'd been. Not that Subtle and I were more than passing acquaintances. It's not like that, I said quietly. Bullshit, Justin snarled. I've seen the way you look at him, the way he looks at you. I laughed bitterly. I assure you he sees me as nothing more than an annoyance. I didn't even know he knew my name until the day I got back from the Dark Woods. Trust me, Justin said. He's known who you are for far longer than that. And before I could even begin to process what that meant, I said, I'm leaving for at least 6 months. You won't have to see me. I know, he said. I've had to see the look on his face ever since you told him. He's my friend, I said. Nothing more. He's mine. I know, trust me. Everyone knows. He raised the sword again, and I said, don't. I thought, phew, and my fingers twitched and flexed, and there was red and orange, and I thought to push, and push hard, but I pulled most of it back. Justin gasped as the sword in his hand grew scalding. It fell to the ground, charring the grass underneath. He said, "I'll see you in the dungeon for this." And I ignored him because the sheep began to bleat loudly among a low rumble. I turned toward the hill where they'd been grazing. They were running toward us, frantically calling out. I didn't see a shepherd, unless he was on the other side of the hill. Birds called out overhead. I looked up, and they too were heading the direction of the sheep. I felt the first ripple of something in my chest, like a pinprick of magic, dancing along my skin. "What the hell?" Justin said, coming to stand next to me. "Do you feel that?" I asked him, because the ground felt like it was shaking, almost like an earthquake. "What is it?" he asked. "I don't know. It looks like..." Then great wings appeared over the hill, rising up and falling down. "It looks like a motherfucking dragon," I said weakly. "We should probably run." And so we did. I was not a fan of the prince. He was cocky, arrogant, rude, and apparently had brought me out here to beat a lesson into me about wanting to secretly bone his boyfriend. My life! I had no reason to care for him aside from the fact that he would be my king one day. But that's all it took. Because he would be my king one day. Even if I walked away, even if I left the city of Locks, I would always be a part of Varenya, and he would be my king. So my only thoughts were to keep him safe. I glanced over my shoulder. I really wished I hadn't. Because the dragon had crested the hill. It wasn't as big as I thought it'd be, which meant it was still young. However, it was still the size of a house, which meant it was much bigger than Justin and me. The dragon was black, its scales mottled with stretches of red, almost the color of the king's crest. Two horns grew out the top of its head that looked to be as big as I was. The wings were translucent, light filtering through. They were a rarity in the world, and the sightings of them even rarer. They were intelligent, fierce creatures who killed and took for the sheer sake of doing so. I thought them all named. I thought I knew them all, the ones that resided in Varenya. Two lived in the north, a mated pair that lived high in the mountains where snow never melted. There was one to the west, a desert dragon that burrowed extensive tunnels underneath the sand. There were rumors of a fourth that lived in the dark woods, but it had been at least a century since it had been seen. That dragon had been old and white, and the woods were deep. It was possible it had died years before, its bones resting where no man had stood for decades. But this one was new. And I knew the moment it spotted us, dark eyes glittering. Justin must have felt it too, because he said, "Oh, shit." And all I could say was, "Faster!" The weapon shed. It wasn't ideal, but maybe I could... The dragon roared behind us. And if that wasn't a sound to make you shit yourself, I don't know what was. I hazarded a look over my shoulder. The dragon was right there, and it was rearing back, and I could smell the gases from the flammable liquid filling its throat from a gland near the back of its tongue. I most certainly didn't want to die right now, especially not with Justin. We weren't going to make it to the shed. I grabbed him by the arm. I thought, ice, and close, twisting my right hand in a circle over my head. The air around us froze in a snap as the moisture solidified downward, cocooning Justin and I in a circle of thick ice. I grabbed him and pulled him, covering him with myself. And it came then, the fire. There was a low that turned into a blast of hot air and orange-red light. It shone through the fractals of ice, and if we weren't mere inches away from getting burned to nothing, it would have been beautiful. But being that close to death really takes away from the pretty fire ice lights. The fire died. Justin said, "Oh." I gathered my magic. The ice shattered around us with a swipe of the dragon's claws. Like giants, They were magical creatures in their own right, and could counter most types of magic, which sucked. Because that was just lame. And it became even worse when the dragon lowered its massive head toward me and said in a loud, rumbling voice,
"I really hate wizards."
I blinked, because dragons weren't supposed to talk. What?
"Cookie shits,"
he said.
"With your whiz bangs and pretty sparkles. Too bad, too. I really have liked to wind you, dined you, then fucked you, stupid."
What? And then it brought a massive arm back, and before I could move, it brought it forward, and I managed to think, "This is going to hurt," before I was flying through the air. I smashed into the side of the weapon shed. My breath knocked from my chest as I crashed through the wood. My head struck something metal, and I saw stars. More than I'd ever seen before in my life. I landed awkwardly under a shelf in the far corner as the shed collapsed around me. As darkness started to fall, I heard Justin shouting, "Get the fuck away from me! Get the fuck away from me! Get the fuck away from me!"
"You, on the other hand,"
the dragon said,
"you are darling. I think I'd like to hoard you."
"Hoard? You can't." Then Justin yelled again. But honestly, I couldn't be bothered, because the stars were growing brighter and brighter until they were all I could see. And as I heard the snap of those great wings taking flight, I followed the stars into the dark. Chapter 9. You mad, bro? I woke up in the labs.
"Ow," I said. "Motherfucking ow."
"Yeah, that's what happens when a building falls down on top of you." I opened my eyes. Morgan, Gary, Mom, Dad, Tiggy, Ryan, and the King all stared down at me. "Were you all staring at me while I was passed out?" They all nodded slowly.
"You're so creepy."
"Your beautiful face,"
Gary said, sniffing, big eyes wet with tears.
"It's gone. The burns, all the burns."
"What?" I yelped, sitting up. "What?" I was not vain, by any means, but it was my face, and I was so fucking vain because it was my face.
"I'll never be a model."
"Just kidding," Gary said, eyes suddenly dry. "Now you know how I felt when Night Delicious Face pulled your unconscious body from a pile of rubble, you arrogant bastard." And then he started wailing and put his head on my shoulder. I rolled my eyes, but hugged him anyways, because I could. And also because I still had my face. "Night Delicious Face?" Ryan asked. "What's he talking? How long was I out?" I interrupted. Because now was not the time to discuss nicknames that should never be discussed, even if they were true.
"A few hours," Mom said with a frown. "You've got a bump in your head, and some bruising on your back and face. You are very lucky."
"Luck is my middle name," I said.
"Your middle name is..."
"Of no real importance," I said, with a glare, because it was a family name, and it was awful. So many X's and Q's, and it still sounded feminine.
"What's his middle name?"
the king asked.
"I'll tell you later," Morgan said.
"Bastards," I muttered, "all of you."
"Dark wizards and dragons,"
Morgan reminded me.
"All in the space of 2 weeks. You are becoming a pain in my ass."
I rolled my eyes as I stretched. I had aches and pains all over, but nothing felt broken or split. My right hand was red hot from where I'd held up the ice spell, but it hadn't blistered. It was a good thing Justin... crap. I looked to the king and felt like shit.
"I'm sorry," I said miserably. I should have done more to save him.
He reached out and put his hand on the back of my neck, bringing our foreheads together.
The knights were returning to the sparring fields when the dragon came. Did you know that?
I shook my head. I'd been too busy running from a giant lizard that wanted to set me on fire.
They were too far away to do anything about it, but they were running. Do you know what they saw?
Two guys screaming hysterically as they ran for their lives? I'll admit, I was a screamer. He sighed.
They saw the dragon pulling itself back to breathe fire. They saw you raise your hand in the air. They saw a blinding flash of blue light as you covered Justin with your body. They saw your magic, Sam. They saw your magic as you protected my son. You did everything in your power to save him. I couldn't ask for anything more from you, Sam of Wilds. And I am so very happy that you are okay.
And I hugged him then, because even though his son was a jerk that I was extraordinarily jealous of, the king was my friend, and I didn't like to see him upset. We'll get him back, I said. How's that now? Gary asked. And what's this wee stuff? The king pulled away and stared at me. Dragons, I said. They're hoarders. They keep the things they think are pretty. Gold and jewels. In this case, Justin. To each his own, I guess. Morgan smacked me upside the head. Because that felt good with all the other grievous injuries I'd sustained.
Speak,
he said.
Now.
Before I lost consciousness, I heard the dragon say Justin was something he wanted to hoard.
You heard the dragon speak to Justin,
Morgan said slowly. Yeah. He also spoke to me, but he was really rude. Told me that he wanted to have sex with me, but since I was a wizard, he couldn't because wizards were gross or something. I mean, what was that about? Should I be insulted or flattered? The staring thing happened again. Then, Morgan said,
Of course you can also understand dragons.
The king said,
Don't take it personally, Sam. Justin takes after his mother. She was beautiful. I didn't know you were into dragons.
Gary said, What would your babies look like? Little dragon Sam babies? I bet they would be cute. Or really ugly. Yeah, probably ugly. You shouldn't have a tail. You can't pull it off like I can. Truth. Tiggy said,
We gonna go smash dragons? I smash dragons.
Mom said, He didn't want to sleep with you, so he knocked you through a building? That's rude. He could have just moved on.
Dad said,
You can do better than the dragon. You are awesome. And you dress nice. And I like your hair and your jokes.
Ryan said, What the hell? Does everything want to have sex with you? Everyone slowly turned to look at him. He refused to meet anyone's gaze. Whatever the fuck that was supposed to mean. So I focused on the first thing. I thought it was weird too, I told Morgan. I didn't think dragons could talk.
They can't,
he said.
Or at least I've never heard of one speaking before.
So it's like a magic thing, I said, wiggling my fingers. And I swore I heard Ryan make that sound again. I reminded myself to ask him later if he was okay. But that doesn't make sense. Justin's not magic. And I'm pretty sure he understood what the dragon was saying. Morgan frowned.
I honestly have no idea, then. We'll have to move quickly. The dragon was seen headed north. Dragons are fiercely territorial, but I don't have any record of this one having been spotted before. It's possible he was looking for a new territory to inhabit after having come a great distance.
So call out the knights and have them start tracking, I said. They can storm wherever he's being kept and rescue him. I just wanted to sleep and forget about this ridiculous day. The king said,
Tactically, that's not a good plan.
The dragon could easily wipe out a large portion of the knights in a single blast of fire. And it's better to go covert. Only a handful of people, and I know just the handful.
He smiled. I didn't like that smile. And Morgan must have gotten the same thing from it, because he said,
Your Majesty, I don't think.
Ah, the king said.
But I do.
No, I said. No.
Yes,
the king said, and glared at him.
What's going on?
Mom asked.
To be honest, I haven't understood a single thing being said here.
Dad told her.
But that's nothing unusual.
I just keep you around for your looks,
Mom said.
Not your brains.
Romance.
Dad sighed.
It's almost romantic,
the king said wistfully.
Like the stories I heard as a child. The princess being rescued from the dragon's keep by her one true love. The hero rides Hayden and slays the beast, and everyone lives happily ever after.
Ryan's eyes went wide. Or, in the real-world version, they get set on fire and eaten, I said.
Semantics,
the king said with a wave of his hand.
Besides, you'll be there to protect him, won't you?
Everyone out, I said as I grit my teeth together. I need to have a word with the king. Morgan, you stay too. For once, everyone listened to me. Though Ryan looked as if it was the last thing he wanted to do. His eyes were on me as he backed through the doorway, pulling the door closed. I took a breath, trying to calm down. It almost didn't work. The king said,
Why were you out in the fields?
Because Justin took me there.
For what purpose?
To spar. The king frowned.
But you're not sword trained.
That's what I said.
And yet...
Gods, this sucked. He thought. He thinks? The king waited. Ryan and I are friends, I said.
As you should be.
Justin thinks it's more than that.
Ah,
the king said.
And is it?
No.
But...
But nothing, it's not.
Sham,
Morgan said.
Everything.
Gods damn him.
I'm leaving, I told the king, for a while.
So Morgan said, but he never said for how long or why.
I looked at the king because he deserved my respect. He wasn't angry, but he was tired and confused. I reminded myself that his only son had been taken from him. Do you know what a cornerstone is to a wizard? The king's gaze darted to Morgan before turning back to me.
Yes, Sam. I never had the pleasure of meeting Morgans. She was long gone from this world before he and I ever met. I don't see what this has to do with...
I think Ryan is mine, I blurted out, trying to get this over with as quickly as possible. And the king said,
Oh, Sam... If I'd known... Gods, I'm sorry.
I shook my head. It's nothing you did. I didn't even realize it until that night at the restaurant when we were attacked. And I need to get out of here. But it's not just that, okay? Please don't think it is. There's something different. About me. My magic. I'm not like other wizards.
He's powerful, Anthony.
Morgan said quietly.
More than me. Probably more than anyone else. And he needs to learn to control before he can't any longer. Ryan allows you this control?
The king asked. I shrugged, like an asshole. I think so. But it's never been tested.
So you're running, the king said.
And there was the flare of anger. I'm removing myself from the equation. I said, because your son seems to think I'm trying to steal Ryan away from him. Your son took me out to the sparring fields to try and, in his words, teach me a lesson. I'm leaving because Morgan thinks it's right and I never question him.
You question me all the time,
Morgan said lightly. That's because some of the things you say are questionable, I said.
Just so we're clear,
Morgan said.
This is your home, Sam,
the king said, sounding upset.
You should never feel like you've been forced from your home. Not to mention that what Justin did was wrong on so many levels. Castle Lox belongs to you as much as him. You shouldn't have to feel the need to leave because of him.
And I don't, I told him. Not really. This is more me. And it was, mostly. Enough that it didn't feel like a complete lie when I said it, but I knew that look in his eye. I'd known him for years. I knew what he was going to say even before he said it.
I'm going to ask you this favor, he said. Because regardless of what happened, or what will happen, the fact remains that my son was taken by a dragon. He will be your king, and you must help him.
I sighed. Crap. You would use the puppy eyes. You jerk.
I'll go,
Morgan said.
Sam doesn't need to do this. He'll head north, and I'll go with Ryan. We'll get Justin back. Sam?
The king asked. Motherfucker. The king knew exactly how to play this. It can't be you, Morgan, I replied. You know that as well as I do, because we need to show that we can work together if we're going to be in charge of Varenya one day. You shouldn't have to worry about my magic. Ryan will be there until we find Justin, and that will be enough. After that, I'll go to Randall.
It's not your magic I'm worried about,
Morgan said.
It's your heart.
Gods, that hurt. I laughed weakly. It's stronger than you think. Consider it a penance. I should have done more to protect Justin. I should have never let the dragon take him. If it had been you and the king out there, you would have never let that happen. I have to get him back, because I allowed him to be taken in the first place.
No one blames you,
the king said, touching my hand. Maybe not, I said, looking away. But I do. They left me then, per my request. I needed time to clear my head. So, of course, only a few minutes later, there was a knock on the door. I knew who it was. I didn't know how, but I did. Yeah? I said. Ryan came in, face stony. The king had promised to keep the cornerstone thing to himself, so at the very least, he couldn't be pissed off at me for that. So that left the fact that I had somehow managed to let Justin get taken by the dragon. His fiancée was somewhere in Varenya with a sexually aggressive dragon, which I was still offended about, by the way. And Ryan was stuck here with a malfunctioning wizard apprentice who secretly pined after him. My life was a tragic farce of epic proportions. He closed the door behind me and leaned against it. I thought of at least a billion things to say, each one more ridiculous than the last. You mad, bro? You look mad. So I decided on keeping it simple. Sorry. He arched a pissed-off eyebrow at me. Before that moment, I didn't think eyebrows could be pissed off. I now knew otherwise.
For what?
He asked, voice hard.
Going out unescorted with the prince?
Facing off with a dragon? Almost getting yourself killed yet again? Which one, Sam? Hurry up and pick. I can't wait to hear how you explain it away. Huh. That wasn't what I was expecting. You mad, bro? I asked and immediately winced. Am I mad?